Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. It's good to see you in the Lord's house today. I have just a couple of announcements. Children's play practice is at 4:45 tonight. So if your kids are in the play, speaking parts and just singing parts, please be here at 4:45 today. Also, I wanted to make mention of the fifth Sunday night service. So if you go to Phillips this afternoon, when it gets dark, it'll be time to go to fifth Sunday night service at the First Baptist Church. So just leave Phillips and go right on over here. And that will be at 6 o'clock. Miss Betsy wanted me to announce the WMS Christmas dinner, and that will be here in the Fellowship Hall December the 10th at 6:30. Please sign up in the back hall so they'll know how many people to prepare for, and the cost for that is $10. I think Dr. Walls had a quick announcement.
I did. I wanted to say just a special thanks. This particular Thanksgiving, we did something a little different as a church, in part because God laid upon Joey Hickman's heart that he'd really like to prepare a meal here at the church and then simply serve anyone who needed a Thanksgiving meal this year. And so we want to say thank you to Joey and Bonnie for being faithful and listening to that and challenging us to be a part of it. And it started nearly a couple of months ago as Joey came to the board of stewards and asked if he could use the fellowship hall. And, of course, the answer was yes. And so after our Thanksgiving service, which was a great service, if you weren't able to be here, wow, what a great time we had Thanksgiving morning. But about 25 to 30 stuck around after the service and put this Thanksgiving meal together. And over 80 meals were sent out into the community. Over 80 meals. Now, we had hoped maybe a bunch would come here to the fellowship hall to eat. That part didn't materialize, but God had a different plan. And so we ended up taking a bunch of meals out. And in the process, you can see the back end of, I think that's Mary Ann's car, I believe. And Mary Ann and Ron are not pictured here, but the four of them delivered almost all those meals as they went out. And it was just a joy to be a part of that. I mean, that's really what it means to be the hands and the feet of Christ. It's saying we're going to do whatever we have to do to help people. And just a quick note, is we had been out, and we were at the very end of this, right? And we needed four more meals. And we knew that basically everything had been put together before we left the last time. And so we didn't know. We thought we'd come back. Maybe there'd be a few things in the refrigerator we could put together, four more meals, right? We walk in the back door of the fellowship hall, and guess what? There's four more meals sitting on the table. And Joey and Bonnie were the only ones here. I said, Joey, he said, I don't know. We just had four left. That's all. To the person, God knew how many meals needed to be served. To the person. I got to tell you, when we get faithful and become obedient, I mean, God really blesses in wonderful ways. So to all of those of you that helped out in a variety of ways, I know some couldn't be here Thanksgiving, but helped out in other ways, this truly is what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. So I wanted to say thank you to the church.
We do want to mention this morning, if you'll note in your bulletin, our special music will be Lawson Bates and his instrumentalists. They're going to do several specials right before the message following our song, in which we dismiss the children's church group. This is the same folks that will be out at Philip and Kimberly's place at 1:30 today for that Singspiration time, and we're all invited for that as well. But just want to introduce them at this time. And following the second song of the congregation, they will share several selections to bless your hearts. Pray that all done today will glorify our Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Walls. Philip, is the mechanical bull still coming this afternoon? So here's what I've heard so far. I think Dr. Blank is coming to ride the mechanical bull this afternoon. So if you're not doing anything at 1:30, y'all come out to Phillips Farm and enjoy watching that, if nothing else. But the singing will be great. And y'all, I meant to mention our guest on the front row, Lawson Bates and his band. Thank y'all for being here with us today. Does anybody else have anything at this time? If not, let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house today, Lord. Father, there's nowhere else we'd rather be right now, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time of year, Lord, and Father, for family and friends, and Lord, for all the things you've given us, Lord. Father, we thank you so much for each and everything. Lord, we ask that as we worship you today, Lord, as we sing the songs, Lord, and read scripture, Lord, Father, that everything we do, Lord, is done around glorifying you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And it is also the first Sunday of Advent, and so to help us as a church get started in our Advent preparations and celebration, Annabelle and I believe Jonathan Lane is going to come up and get us started. So if you guys would come right now. He'll be ready. It's on.
To you, Lord, I lift up my soul, and you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your razor, Lord, teach me thy path. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old.
All right, by the way, an Advent literally means what? Got to talk loud. I heard somebody mumbling, but I couldn't. Advent literally means what? No, 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 Dr. Blakey, you don't get to play. Come on.
I was coaching them.
It means what? Actually, it literally just means coming. Now, in the season of Advent, Dr. Blank added of the Lord, but literally Advent just means coming. And we celebrate the season of Advent because of the coming of the Lord. Right. Now, we often focus, as a church in this day and age, we often focus simply on the coming of the Christ child. But in reality, the church for years focused more upon the fact that not only did he come as a Christ child, but he came into our hearts. But more than anything else, in ages gone by, the church focused on the fact that he is coming again. That's why he's our hope. It's a package deal, you see. It's not just that he came to Bethlehem, but that he is coming again. Our hope, we sing, is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He is our hope. If he's coming to our hearts, he's coming again to take us home that we might forever praise him.
Being the time of Advent and being a part of the wonderful family of God, we invite you in sharing together. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad in it. Expressing that, join with us as we sing together the call to worship. Here we are to I Am to Worship. Let us stand together, followed by hymn number 559. Come, ye thankful people, come. Join together, let us sing. And while you're standing, greet those around you, wishing God's blessing today.
There are a couple of extra prayer concerns that I'd like you to add to your list this coming week. First of all, I want you to remember Bradley Blank was taken into the hospital this morning. Some of you may have already heard that. Don't know if we have an update yet, but again, I guess passed out a couple of different times this morning, so taken to the emergency room. So please add him to your prayer list. I would also like you to add Faith Home to your prayer list. I received a message this week that there are several serious circumstances going on down there. Part of that was a request that if possible, if I could come and help out for a little bit of time. Now, I will be here next Sunday, but the Board of Stewards has agreed to let me go and see if we can be a part of helping under the conditions that they're going through. So I will miss December 13th. Now, again, that's not next week. It's the following week. And I'll have more information about you, what we're going to be doing that Sunday. But I think if all goes as we are have at least tentative plan, I think we're in for a real powerful Sunday on the 13th. But I do want you to remember Faith Home and what's going on. It's not just, in fact, one thing. It is a series of things right now. So please keep that in your prayers. And we know that prayer makes a difference because, you know, when God takes care of meals down to the number, and I don't believe it was, you know, I mean, like I say, we left there thinking four. How are we going to come up with four? And there's four meals sitting on the table waiting for us. Just a reminder of how absolutely good our God is, right? And that is the God that is our hope, and that is the God in which we approach in prayer. Let's pray. Okay. Okay. We sure will. Okay. Certainly. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the powerful words that were read to us just a few moments ago in our call to worship. Lord, words that remind us that you are our hope, that when we give our lives to you, that, Lord, we're giving ourselves to our Creator, our Redeemer, our Savior, and our Lord. And so we want to simply be your servants, to be willing to be used however it is that you want to use us, to go when you tell us to go, to do what you tell us to do. Because, Lord, we believe that it is in faithfulness and obedience to you that, Lord, it honors you and it magnifies you before others. And, Lord, you're able to use us to touch and to change lives forever. And for that we rejoice. Lord, we do pray for those that have just mentioned, Miss Gladys and her procedure. We pray for Bradley and for what's going on. And, Lord, we don't know, but we know already that you have full understanding of what's happening and what's going on. And Lord, we're just praying for your touch. We love the fact that we live in a country that we have such good medical care, but in the end of the day, Lord, what we need more than anything is your presence and your touch in our lives, and that's what we pray for this morning. We pray for those families that have been touched by death and grief this week, hurting and all that goes with that, Lord. We pray that they'll find comfort, and if they're going to find comfort, they got to come to you because you're the God of all comfort. And Lord, we do pray for our church. We pray that we'll make ourselves more available to be your hands and your feet, knowing, Lord, that nothing is wasted when it's given to you. That all of our efforts, Lord, that you touch and you magnify and you just do amazing things with it. Lord, we just need to be available. That's what we want to be. So help us, Lord, to be thankful and help us to make sure that our hope is centered solely upon you. And Lord, we know that that's a big part of what this is about today. Lord, we gather together and we worship, and that's a weekly reminder of how important you are to our lives. So how we want to worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Over the hills and everywhere.
Ushers, if you would, please come forward to receive our morning offering. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for all the many gifts you've given us, Lord. And Father, you've made us a steward of everything you've given us, Lord. And Father, as we give back this portion this morning, Lord, Father, we just ask that you glorify it for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
During the singing of our next hymn, number 557, we will invite our children and children's church workers to their place of worship for the remaining of the service. And then immediately following the singing of this particular selection, Brother Lawson Bates and his group will come and share several selections to bless our hearts, pray for them as they come to minister in song, and following that, our pastor with the message of the morning. Join with me in number 557 as we stand together and sing. In thanksgiving, let us praise Him. From the first lights of morning, join together singing.
Thank you.
Thank you, church. You may be seated. Brother Bates, you and your group come and share at this time.
Glad to be here today. Thank y'all for having me. I thank Mr. Robinson for inviting me up to the farm again this year, and look forward to playing there later this afternoon, and hope to see some of y'all there. So, make sure I got it, buddy. Hey, Caleb, you got the bass. Okay. One, two, three.
I remember when I was a lad, times were hard and things were bad, but there's a silver lining behind every cloud. Just poor people, that's all we were, trying to make a living out of blackland dirt. We get together in a family circle singing loud. Daddy sang bass, Mama sang tenor, me and little brother would join right in there. Singing seemed to help our troubled souls. One of these days, and it won't be long, I'll rejoin them in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. I remember after work, Mama would call in all of us. You could hear us singing for a country mile. Now little brother is gone home, but we'll rejoin him in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. Well, the circle won't be broken by and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Well, the circle won't be broken. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
This next song is a song I think we can all identify with. It's called God's Been Good, and really all of us know that no matter where we're at, no matter how many bad things have happened, God has blessed us all in our lives. And my banjo man went to get a bass, so he'll be back here in a second. But I'm glad to be here. So many things to be thankful for, and just passing Thanksgiving, I'm sure we're all kind of reflecting on all the things we're thankful for. But really every day should be Thanksgiving. And thanking God for all he's done. First of all, for giving his son to die for us. But every day, just the little things, you know. Health and all we're blessed with. Having a job, being able to work, living in a great country like we do. And so, God's been good. You ready, Nakona? I didn't tell you who was playing with me. So, my sister Tori was up here playing the fiddle. And then my sister Carlin was singing. This is Nakona Allen here on the bass and playing the banjo earlier. The guy's amazing banjo player. If you ever go to Gatlinburg and go to the Dixie Stampede, you can see him there. He plays the pre-show 3 or 4 times a day. It's the best part of the show.
That's right.
And then
amen.
And then Caleb down here, Caleb Bates, no relation, just Caleb Bates. He's too tall to be one of us Bates, but playing the guitar and the mandolin. So God's been good.
Lately I've been looking back upon life's winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. And though it may sound simple, it's more than a cliche. There's no other words to tell you but to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't trade one if I could. Through it all, God's been good. Life goes on, and I can say I've tried some bitter tears, but I've felt His arms around me as I face my darkest fears. I've had more gains than losses, I've known more joys than hurt, as His grace flows down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't trade one if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, He's been my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could go on forever about all He's done for me. But the best way I could say it is like this. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't trade one if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't trade one if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. God's been good.
And there will be a bunch more this afternoon, right, guys?
Yes, sir.
All right, excellent, excellent. Thanksgiving, you know, the mere name of it, and we start conjuring up all kinds of images in our mind. Now, used to, maybe pilgrims, Plymouth Rock, something like that. Maybe we think of football or family. I got to believe most of us think of a bunch of food, right? In fact, one person here this morning had told me they don't ever want to see poultry again for a while. All right, that they've just eaten and they've eaten and they've eaten some more. And so we think about big meals. Maybe we think about antacids that go after the big meals. But Thanksgiving conjures up a lot of different images to us. Now, as those of us in church, of course, we're going to try to take a higher road, right, beyond just stuffing ourselves so we're ready to puke, all right? We're going to do more than simply say, man, I love to watch football or even get together. We're going to say, we know how blessed we are because we know the one whom all blessings flow from. And we'll occasionally even sing the doxology to prove it, right? Well, we have been blessed beyond measure. There is no doubt. And I received an email, it's been several years ago, and the percentages may be a little different now than they were then, but I try to bring this thing out every year because for me, it is a stark reminder of the reality to the depth of which we are blessed here in America. It says, if you've got food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, and a roof overhead, you're richer than 75% of the people in our world. If you've got a little money in the bank and some in your wallet, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthiest people. If you woke up this morning in good health, you're more fortunate than the million of other people who will not survive this week. If you've never experienced the danger of war all around you, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you're ahead of 500 million people in our world today. And if you can attend a church meeting without fear of persecution, harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you're more blessed than 3 billion people in our world. And if you can read this message, you've just received a double blessing in that someone was thinking of you. And you're also more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world that cannot read at all. Folks, when we start talking about how blessed we are, I think sometimes we need a reality check to jump up and slap us in the face and realize how blessed we really are. Thanksgiving. You know, we don't have a problem with the thanks part, right? But truth be told, sometimes we kind of begin to choke on the giving part. You know, we want to believe that somehow we hold back. But giving thanks to God really, well, it's got to be a whole lot more than just the words that we speak. Now, words are a part of it, but it's got to be more than that. Now, Jesus was a storyteller. I mean, the Gospels make it clear. He told a lot of stories. In fact, what we're going to read this morning is a story. In fact, it's in Matthew chapter 25, and there's 3 stories in that chapter. And we're going to read the middle story. And all of the stories deal with the fact that Jesus is going to be coming again. On that we can be absolutely certain. And in the first story, Jesus says, if you're going to be wise, if you're going to be smart, then you need to be ready for when I come, regardless of when it is. And it may be in the middle of the night when you're not expecting me. And then he told the second story, which I believe really helps us understand how we can truly be ready when Jesus comes. And so we're going to read Matthew 25, start with verse 14, and I'll ask you to stand for the reading of the word this morning. Beginning with verse 14, the words of Jesus. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. And that, by the way, is a key part of the story. Don't miss it. His property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, which was a big sum of money, by the way, not just a natural ability. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more, but the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, you've entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And the man with the 2 talents also came. Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. And the master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with a banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him. Give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can be seated. Entrusted. We've all been entrusted. The question then becomes, now what? What are we going to do with the stuff that the master has entrusted to us? I think sometimes it's just way too easy for us to get messed up just a little bit and think somehow that in giving to God that we're the one entrusting our stuff to God to use until we want it back. Or that somehow we get to thinking that God ought to be grateful to us for what we happen to throw in the offering plate when it comes around. But let me be just a little bit blunt at the beginning. It doesn't matter what we think we are giving. It doesn't matter how much we have given. It's not doing God a favor when we give because it belongs to God anyway. See, make no mistake about it. What we have, all that we have, has come from God. And so we've got to answer the now what question. What are we going to do with it? I mean, as Christians, we begin to realize how important it is that we give back to God by telling other people about Jesus. See, we've been entrusted with a message. It's the message of Christ. We're to share it, to tell it. We are to proclaim it to anyone that will listen to it and even to those who try not to listen. And the truth of the matter is, ministry and mission, see, these both require time and money. But the church doesn't need more millionaires in order to accomplish the mission that God has left us to fulfill. In fact, if every Christian simply gave in accordance to the scripture and what it tells us to give, then the churches across our land would have more money than they would know what to do with. We don't need more millionaires. I read this poem several years ago and I loved it. It says, it's not what we would do with the millions if riches e'er be our lot, but what we're doing at present with the dollar a quarter we've got. It doesn't matter how much, it's just what we're going to do with what God has given to us. It's not about having more in our bank accounts, but it's about having a greater willingness to give it to God. And you know what? The bottom line, the tithe is 10%. It's 10% no matter what. It's a dime on a buck. It's a dollar on $10. It's $10 bill on a $100 bill. That's just what it is. And statistically, less than 10% of church members give over 90% of the offering. Look, God often gets the credit, right? We'll jump up and give God the praise and the glory, the credit when things work out the way that we want, and we'll certainly blame God when things don't work out the way that we want. So God gets the credit, but true thanksgiving gives. Sometimes we need to be prompted just a little bit. It's kind of like the pastor was meeting with his church board and council, and they were in the midst of a building program, and the funds were getting really, really thin, and the pastor was challenging them. Look, he said, guys, we need to step up, and we need to show the church that we're going to put our pledge, we're going to put our lives out here on the line, and we need to show them how much we're willing to give. And one of the richest and wealthiest men in the church said, well, okay, pastor, I'll give $100. And just at that time, a piece of plaster fell from the ceiling and hit him on the head. And without missing a beat, he said, we'll make that $1,000. And then they could hear someone in the prayer in the sanctuary praying, Lord, hit him again, Lord, hit him again. Okay, sometimes we need a little prompting, a little pushing, right? Sometimes we need to realize that what we've got belongs to God. And God's going to take care of us if we give it. Look, I doubt, look, You can lose millions overnight. That's what the stock market has been doing. I read an article not too long ago how somebody had lost like almost $100 million overnight. It's like, wow, I can't even conceive of that. So money comes and goes. But the promise of God remains, and the promise is, I'm going to take care of you. Howard Hendricks, who pastored a long time in Dallas, Texas, tells about a family in his church that they were a family of five, three little boys, and the mother and the father really felt God was calling them into full-time Christian service, and so he quits his job, which was very lucrative at the time, and he registers for seminary, and he goes to school to be what God called him to be, but it was tight, right? Money that used to not be a problem was now a problem. And when their youngest son, Timmy, was there one night, he said, do you think God would mind if we prayed for me to get a new shirt? They said, no, I don't think God would mind that. And so they kept a prayer book, by the way, which I think is pretty cool to do. You write your prayers down, and then you write the answer to them on the side when they come. And so they wrote down, new shirt for Timmy, parentheses, size 7. Every night, Timmy wanted to pray for a new shirt. Don't blame him. So every night they pray for a new shirt. Well, about 3 weeks later, Pastor Hendricks says that another person in the church who ran a clothing store had this big sale in July, trying to clean out the inventory and get things ready for the fall season. And this particular person knew what this family had done, so they call him and say, hey, look, he said, I got a bunch of shirts, little boy or boy shirts here. Do you think you guys could use some? And the lady said, well, yeah, maybe, if they're the right size. She said, what size are they? He said, size 7. And he said, I've got 12 of them, and you can have them all. Now, I love what this Christian couple did. They didn't say anything to Timmy at first. They went through their prayer time, but they didn't pray for a shirt. And when they got done, Timmy said, well, Daddy, you didn't pray for a shirt. And he said, well, son, we don't need to pray for that anymore because God took care of that. And then they had arranged with the two older brothers to go out and bring one shirt in and stack it in front of Timmy. And they each made 6 trips, so they got a stack of 12 shirts sitting in front of him. Of course, his eyes get bigger with each trip that his brother. I mean, he had to believe God went into the shirt-making business, right? I've got to believe that there is now a young man named Timothy that lives in the Dallas area that realizes that when God said, I'll take care of your needs, he knows God will take care of your needs. When we give to God, God will take care of us. Jesus didn't hold out on us, right? That's what Scripture proclaims. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we might share in his richness. See, he didn't hold out on us, and we're not supposed to hold out on him. Now, in the end, more than anything else, of course, we just simply need to know that everything that we have, it just belongs to the Lord, and we need to give it to him and let him use it however he wants to. But what happens when we hold back is we rob God. That's what Scripture says. We rob God, and we also rob ourselves of the blessings that God wants to give us. Entrusted with the master's stuff, now what? What are we going to do with it? Remember, I said it's more than words. The truth is we've all got lots of stuff, but what matters most is that we give him our lives. Because if we'll give him our lives completely and totally, then all the rest of this stuff falls into place. And life is way too precious, and it's way short and fragile, right? Not to give our lives to the Lord. But it is our choice. See, we get to choose what we're going to do with the life that we've been entrusted with. Are we going to use it, increase it, or waste it? We can do what God wants us to do, or we can do what we want to do. My, don't you think the world would be a little bit better place if we simply did it God's way? I mean, each of us has the potential to make this world a better place. I know some people think more highly of themselves than they ought, but also believe that too many times today, there's too many Christians that don't think enough of the Lord in their lives to think how that God can use them if they'll simply be willing to be used. Hattie Mae Wyatt, she lived back in the late 1800s. Hattie Mae Wyatt still has a picture hanging in the Temple Baptist Church, which is in Philadelphia on Temple University. She was a major contributor to the church. Now, she was just a little girl when she died. Remember, mortality rate back in the day was much higher, especially for children. But she's one of the major donors of that church. I mean, it's a grand. You look it up online, it's still there. Wow, it's impressive. You know how much she gave? 57 cents. See, when she died at a very young age, she had been saving money because the church was so overcrowded that they literally turned people away back then. I can't imagine that, but that's they had to turn children away, right? Because it just wasn't room. And little Hattie, it just broke her heart that children were turned away. And so she started saving so that the church could build a bigger church so they could let more children in, right? And when she died, her mother took that 57 cents. That's a pretty good sum of money back in the day, right? Took that to the pastor of the church at the time and explained what she had been doing. And he turned around and simply told her story to the rest of the church. And all of a sudden, what they thought they didn't have came rolling in because they were willing to give it. And today she's considered one of the major contributors of a church simply because this little girl was willing to say 57 cents. Or what about little Austin Gutwine? Austin was 9 when he saw a video that shared how many orphans there were in Africa because of the AIDS epidemic. I mean, he's 9 years old, and his testimony simply, I felt like God told me to do something. And so what he did on World AIDS Day 2004 was he shot 2,057 free throws. And he had gotten sponsors, right, for each and every free throw that he shot that day. That would represent the number of orphans that were going to be that day, orphans because of AIDS. He raised over $3,000. Shooting free throws, a 9-year-old. Wow, what God did. All because he said, I felt like God told me to do something. Today, a little over 10 years later, there are hoops of hope throughout almost all 50 states. And they raised last year over $2.5 million because a 9-year-old listened to the voice of the Lord and said, do something. Think about our own right here. A little girl in our congregation that heard God say, you need to do something, and she raised over $1,000 in order to buy Bibles for kids that didn't have the Word of God. Now, do you find an interesting point going on here? These are all children. Folks, are we that big of boneheads in the world as adults that we don't get it? That little as much when God is in it, if we give it to the Lord, He can increase it and multiply. Why are we hanging on to it so tightly? Why don't we give it? Why don't we hear the Lord speak to us? Do something about it. We can make a difference in the world if we're simply willing to give our lives. God has a plan, not just for one of us, but for all of us. And when we say yes to that plan, now look, the happiest people I know are people that are doing what the Lord told them to do. I mean, if we'll go where He says to go, do what He says to do, when He says to do it, that is giving our lives. Now, in accounting, there's two sides to the ledger, right? You have assets and income, disbursements and expenses, right? So what side of the ledger are you on this morning? I mean, when it comes to giving to God, when it comes to what side of the ledger are you on? Do you see it as a liability and disbursement, or do you see it as an asset and blessing? Look, there's lots of leftovers, right, from Thanksgiving meal. That's why some of you said you never want to eat turkey again for at least another year. But let me be just as blunt now towards the end as I was. God don't want your leftovers. That's what you're trying to give Him, He's not interested. Those that see giving their lives to God as a liability tend to wait and see what's left over before they give it, right? But if giving really is a blessing, if it really is an asset, then we need to give our best and give it first. Now, we can spend a lot of time thinking and talking about what we give, but in the end of the day, the story makes it clear, it's not our stuff. Jesus entrusted it to them. We've received it. We've received forgiveness and grace and love. I mean, just a few things, right? We've received life and we've received a calling. All we really have to do is give it. And if you take the context of this story, where it was when Jesus, I mean, we understand the clock's ticking here, right? Jesus is coming back. And the clock is ticking. There's people that need to hear about Jesus. And quite honestly, if we hoard our stuff, if we hoard our lives, and we don't lay our lives on His altar, those people are going to end up in hell because we weren't willing to give. And bankruptcy in the story wasn't because the servant lost the money, but because he didn't use it. And it says that the master came back and settled accounts. In other words, there's going to be a judgment. Now, two of them heard, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in, share in your master's happiness." But one didn't. One didn't because he didn't truly give. And there's no wiggle room. I wish we look for wiggle room, right? How can we get ourselves out of this mess? But there is no wiggle room here. We've been entrusted with much, and now we've got to decide what we're going to do. Are we going to use it and give it to God, or are we going to keep it to ourselves? See, the needs are numerous. The opportunities are plenty. And God will use us to make a difference. Will we share it, use it? Will we give it? I pray that we do today. I pray that each of us will open our hearts and make that commitment, that we will go do and say whatever God wants us to do. But it is our choice. We don't mind thanksgiving when the emphasis is on the thanks. But when you truly understand it and put it where it ought to be, on the giving. See, as we give, though, our lives become richer and fuller than we could ever imagine. So the invitation is, come and share in your master's happiness. How? By taking what he's given you and using it to his glory. Lord, we thank you today for the power of your word. And Lord, I pray that in this moment that we will truly open our lives and that we will allow you to speak to our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing this morning.
We invite you to hymn number 526, and you notice all that thrills my soul is Jesus. Maybe your heart is thrilled today because you know him. There are those who do not know. As we sing this song, if God's spoken to you about a matter of committing more of your life, or maybe all of your life, to his purpose and glory, we invite you to an altar of rededication at this time. All that thrills my soul, you do what God's Spirit tells you to do at this altar. Joining together, let us join in singing the choral benediction. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you. Thank you, church. You are dismissed. Until we meet again, may God bless you all.